in a series called Foundations, because what I think is true for many people is that they do want to follow Jesus, but they're not sure what that looks like day in and day out. It's kind of like when we bring a brand new baby home from the hospital. All of a sudden, you just have this baby, and you've got 18 years, and you got to figure it out. And what does this look like? And I think spiritual life can be a lot like that, that I trust in Jesus, but then what? Because what Christians believe is that trusting in Jesus is a first step in a lifetime of then following Jesus. I trust in Jesus, and then I follow Jesus day in and day out, not just on a Sunday, not just when I'm in a religious experience, but I'm invited in every moment of every day in my parenting, in my relationships, at work, in what I pursue and what I abandon. I want to follow Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul recognizes that, and he wrote a letter to a church in Ephesus, which is in modern day Turkey, and he's talking to people who had no relationship with God at all, and then crossed into the line of faith. It's the Gentiles, is what he's saying. Gentiles didn't know anything about the Ten Commandments. They didn't know anything about the law. They didn't know anything about God. They had just heard that Jesus had done something extraordinary on their behalf, and they placed their faith in him. And the Apostle Paul is writing and saying, here's what it looks like now that you've done that. And this morning, we're going to lean into this idea of pain. Pain. And it's a message that nobody really likes, because I would rather preach a sermon, matter of fact, on, hey, here's six ways that God wants to help you, and here's six ways that God wants to bless you, and all these things. But here's what we know is true, is that pain is universal. Pain is part of the human condition. It can't be escaped. You can look back on times in your life and you say, I've been in pain. Some of you have walked in this morning and you would say, I am in pain. And for all of us, there will be a time in the future where we will be in pain. And it varies in degrees. Some people, Brian just said, some people today are in unfathomable pain because they lost sons and daughters and moms and dads. And that is a pain that we talk about. But there's also the pain of, I'm really frustrated at work. And I can't figure out how to work this out. And I thought I'd be married by now, or I thought I wouldn't still be in this struggle. There's all these varying difficulties, but what do we do with that? Because again, it's not a Christian thing. It's not a not Christian thing. It's just a humanity thing, that life has a way of introducing us to suffering, whether we invite it or not. Now, some of our suffering, let's just be honest, is our own fault. Some of the things that I have suffered are because I made a choice, and my choice resulted in suffering. We've all had that. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the suffering and the pain that it's not your fault. And maybe it's nobody's fault. Maybe it's just that we live in a broken world. And because pain is a universal experience, our current culture, it invites us to constantly be pursuing the question, how do I avoid pain? And so it provides solutions like, well, what you need to do when you're suffering or when you're in pain is you just need to numb it. And you can do that by doom scrolling on TikTok or on Instagram or on YouTube. And I just want to push all that pain away, or I want to distract myself with alcohol, or I want to distract myself with a different relationship or something better or something newer. If I could just get that thing from Amazon delivered to my doorstep, then I can numb that pain. And that's the question the culture invites us to pursue. But how do I avoid? I don't want to feel pain. I don't want to go through this hurt. And I'm with you. Neither do I. Nobody looks for opportunities for pain. But the Apostle Paul does not give us that advice. The Apostle Paul does not give us a prescription of how can you follow Jesus and through following Jesus avoid all pain. Jesus himself actually said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so it is an opportunity when trouble comes. The question that we're going to try to answer today through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3 is, how do I not necessarily avoid, but how do I endure? How do I endure? Because if pain is inevitable, and if at the same time God is with me at all times, that must mean that he's with me in the painful times. And so how do I endure it? Not just numb it, not just try to ignore it, but how do I endure? Because if you don't learn how to endure pain, it has the tendency to break you. It has the tendency to turn you into somebody that you don't really want to be. Pain has the tendency to turn people cynical. Pain has the tendency to make people shut other people out and you become isolated. And so if we go that direction, well, I turn into somebody I don't really like and I didn't really want to be. But if I can take the Apostle Paul's word seriously, and all of the New Testament speaks to this, how can I endure pain? And we're not saying that it's not hard. We're not saying that it's not something that you're sad about or angry about. We're not trying to pretend like it's not difficult. We're trying to say, what if pain is something that I can walk through with Jesus? That I don't have to just endure it on my own and grit my teeth and yeah, sunny days are gonna come again and I just gotta buck up and I just gotta wait. What if pain is an opportunity to say, yes, this isn't what I want, but in it, I'm going to lean on Jesus. And Paul in Ephesians 3, in so many words, is gonna say that pain doesn't have to be pointless. That it doesn't have to be something that you invite. And you can avoid certain pain by following Jesus. There's some of our pain points, right? That if we would have been following Jesus in that moment, in that decision, we could have avoided some pain. How many of you know that that's just true? That I can look back at different times in my life and I could say, I invited pain into my life and I look back at where did it start and oh, I knew what the right thing was. I knew what Jesus was calling me to. I just didn't want to do it in that moment. And the end result of that was pain. Was challenge, was suffering. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this pain that just is inevitable, pain that comes, and maybe it's nobody's fault. And so he starts in verse number 1 of chapter 3. We're just gonna look at these 13 verses today, really not even all of them. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. And the whole thing that we're gonna talk about today jumps right from here. Because what you may or may not know is Paul is not writing this from an island resort. He's not writing it at a beach with just unlimited sun and fabulous weather and all. He's in jail. He's in prison. It wasn't his fault. He had been wrongfully accused, and he's in jail. This is one of what we would call the prison epistles. He is almost certainly chained 24/7 to a Roman guard. Now, that's not a great way to live. Some of you know that sometimes in marriage, absence makes the heart grow fonder. It's sometimes nice to get away a little bit. It's sometimes nice to break company for an 8-hour day and while we're at work. Imagine being chained to somebody 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so the Apostle Paul has every right in the world to be cynical. He has every right in the world to be a victim. He has every right in the world to say, this isn't fair. I mean, I'm trying to do everything God wants me to do. And this imprisonment is actually keeping me from being able to travel and plant churches and encourage and preach and lead more people to Jesus. He has every right to say that. But did you notice what he said? He didn't say a prisoner of bad circumstances. He didn't even say a prisoner of Rome, which is true. He recognized that this pain that I'm in, it's not my fault. I probably wouldn't have asked for it. It isn't easy, but it's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That he has a perspective that he says, even in this pain, even in this suffering, well, Jesus must be in this, and he must be with me in this. And he could have thrown the biggest pity party. How many of you ever thrown a pity party, and you've invited some people to the party with you. All of us had. And Paul, he could have thrown a pity party. It wasn't fair. And yet he says, no, I'm not a prisoner of bad circumstances. I'm not a prisoner of what's happened to me that wasn't fair. I'm still, in this moment, chained to a Roman guard. I'm still a prisoner of Christ Jesus. In other words, that Christ hasn't left me on my own. That I'm not facing this by myself, that there must be something that he is going to work through this. And so in this chapter, he's gonna show us, I think, three separate things. He says, if we're gonna endure pain, not just escape it, not just get through it, not just, I really hope this gets better. If we're gonna walk through it with Jesus, I need a purpose, I need a presence, and I need some perspective. I need a purpose that's bigger than my pain. Because if my life is just focused 24/7 on my pain, my life's gonna be derailed. And I need a presence that's stronger than my suffering, because my presence and my friend's presence, that's not enough. And then I need a perspective that sees maybe this isn't just about me. Here's the first thing the Apostle Paul says, is that I can endure pain while I stay focused on my purpose. Do you know that God has a purpose for your life? And your purpose is more than just earning a paycheck, and it's more than just climbing the corporate ladder. It's more than just getting married. It's more than just having a couple kids and living this nice, simple life until you retire, and then you can travel in the RV. Those are all good things, and I want those for you. But God has a purpose for your life. There's a universal purpose for all of our lives, to trust God, to follow God, to worship God. That's for all of us. But you have an individual purpose. Your individual purpose probably looks like something that you're passionate about that other people don't really worry about. Your purpose probably looks like something that just fires you up when other people don't really care. I mean, Brian has a purpose. Brian is going today with a purpose to minister to other people. That might not be a passion of yours. That's okay. That's Brian's purpose, but you have one as well. And the Apostle Paul is saying in verse number 7, I've got a purpose. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. What is his purpose? Well, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, he's talking about the apostles, James and Jude and Matthew and all those guys. He's saying, I'm less than all of those. This grace was given to me. Like, this is mine. This is what God, in his kindness and in his generosity, he has given me a purpose. What is your purpose, Paul? To preach, not just to everybody, but to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of grace and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. The Apostle Paul had a mission. He had a purpose. He knew every morning when I wake up, my purpose is to make Jesus famous to the Gentiles who aren't aware of what God has done through him. And if I'm chained to a Roman guard, my purpose and the way that I do that might have changed, but the ultimate calling hasn't changed. Like, when I'm not chained, I can travel and I can preach and I can go start churches and I can look in your eye and I can share with you Jesus. But now that I'm chained, well, my purpose is still here. I can still write. I still have a pen, I still have paper, and I can mail these letters. And because of Paul's purpose, and he didn't give up when he was in pain, here we are 2,000 years later being encouraged and being built up when the Apostle Paul could have said, well, this is the worst. This doesn't make any sense. This isn't fair. And pain, it's just universal. Pain does derail pleasure, but it doesn't stop my purpose. That if I am living a life solely focused on my pleasure, that when pain comes, boy, I am a ship without an anchor. I'm just tossed here and there, because if my whole life is just waiting on the next weekend, the next vacation, the next better, the next thing, well, those are all fine and good and wonderful, and I want you to go on vacation. I'm leaving today. We're going to go on a little spring vacation. I want that for you. But if that is my ultimate goal in life, that when the universal pain comes, what am I left with? I'm just left wandering. I'm just left, well, this is wasteful. I can't believe this would happen. But purpose remains. Purpose says, yeah, I wouldn't have asked for this. And this isn't fair. But my purpose, I'm not in pleasure right now, but my purpose is still here. Jesus said it this way, the author of Hebrews speaking about Jesus said this, let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In other words, there's gonna be some painful times. Why do you have to persevere? Have you ever noticed that you've never had to persevere sitting on the couch? Like you've never said to your friend, what are you doing? Well, I'm just struggling. I'm just persevering. I'm trying to stay on this couch. Perseverance requires difficulty. The only reason you have to persevere is because everything is not smooth sailing. So the author of Hebrews said, man, let's run your race, whatever your race is, with perseverance. You've got a race that's marked out for you. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Because if I fix my eyes on this isn't fair and this shouldn't be happening, and I can't believe they would and I should have gotten that, man, I just get exhausted. And I get cynical and I start pointing my fingers, but I'm gonna fix my eyes on Jesus. He's the pioneer. He's the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, talking about Jesus, he endured. He endured. That's what I want for you. That's what the Apostle Paul wants. He wants you to endure. Why was Jesus able to go through what Jesus went through? He had purpose. He had purpose. His purpose was you. His purpose was me. And so he looked further than just my current happenings, and he said, it's worth it because of them. My purpose remained. He endured the cross, scorn and shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What an invitation for us. When I am in pain, I can endure because I know what my purpose is. And God's purpose for your life is durable. Nobody else can derail it. You can derail it, but other people can't. And unfair circumstances can't derail it. And things that shouldn't have happened to you can't derail it. God's purpose for your life is durable. Pain can't destroy your purpose. It'll take the legs out of pleasure, but it can't destroy your purpose. Paul, in one of his other prison epistles, Philippians is the name of that book, he says, I want you to know, again, still chained to the Roman guard, what's happened to me? It's actually served to advance the gospel. What a perspective. Well, Paul, but it's not fair what's happening to you. Yeah, I know. But what I've been able to see is my purpose is still the same. And it's actually served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. In other words, the Apostle Paul, what was his calling? To preach the good news of Jesus. And if he couldn't travel to Ephesus, and if he couldn't travel to Philippi, guess who got to hear about Jesus? That poor Roman soldier that was just chained to him. He had a captive audience 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I can still walk in my purpose, and you just get to be the bearer of my purpose. That's what the Apostle Paul is inviting. Why? Because purpose is durable. Purpose is not derailed by pain. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters, I just worn them down, basically, is what he's saying. Most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Are you in pain? Going through struggle? In challenge? What I just invite you to is you need to find God's purpose for your life. Rick Warren, who has not had an easy life, has said this, that the greatest 2 days of your life are the day that you're born and the day that you find out why. And I just love that. And some of us haven't found out why we're born yet. Some of us are still trying to figure out, man, what is my purpose? And that's why the question is asked, is this all there is? Is this all there is? That's why our society, well, I just need to chase the next thing and the bigger and the better and the shinier. They haven't figured out why they're born yet. Figure out what your purpose is. And then in pain, you can endure. Not only does pain we can endure pain with a purpose. Secondly, I can endure pain when I stay close to God's presence. When I don't try to just grip this thing on my own. When I recognize, wow, God is still with me. And I wouldn't have asked for this, and I wouldn't have invited myself into this, and I don't feel like it's fair, but my purpose is still remaining strong. And in that, I can be strengthened by God's presence. Here's what he said in verse number 12. In him and through faith in him, talking about Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Can I just ask you a question? What is your approach to God? Is it real formal? Is it just, I've got to say the right words at just the right time? Or is it, you know, you learn some prayers as a child? But the Apostle Paul says, you can approach God with boldness and with confidence. The Apostle Paul knew something that I don't know if we all recognize, that even in pain, I have unrestricted access to God. That pain might be able to keep me from going outside and keep me from traveling where I want to travel, but it can't keep me from going to God. And your pain, whatever it might be, and your suffering, whatever you're going through, it can keep you from a lot of things, but it can't keep you from the invitation that God has given you. Why don't you come talk to me? God's promise is that no matter what's happening in your life, good, bad, or somewhere in the middle, you have a standing invitation. It doesn't expire. You can come connect to God. On your worst day, you can come connect to God. On the day where you totally blew it and you did the thing that you promised you would never do again, you have an invitation to come to God. When you're hurting and you can't hardly figure out what words to say, you have the invitation to come to God. When life is great and the bank account is full and you love your job and your kids are getting along and there's food in the fridge and everything is going perfect, you have the invitation to come to God. Isaiah said it this way, when you pass through the waters, because you're going to. Doesn't say if you, but when. It's just universal. You're going to be in pain. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they're not gonna sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, man, you don't have to be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Isaiah assumes difficulties. The promise is not it's gonna be absent of challenges. It's the promise of God is with me. Charles Spurgeon, the great theologian, wrote all sorts of books, and we know so much about God because of his understanding of it, was racked with deep, deep, deep depression. Deep depression. And still he was able to say, God never promised absence of pain, but his presence in it. For you that have kids, you ever had a kid that's afraid of the dark? You ever had a kid that's 32 and afraid of the dark? If that's happening, I can't help you with that. But if you got kids that are young kids that are afraid of the dark, here's what your kids want. The darkness. That's not that helpful. You know what they really want? Presence. They want your presence. If you, and parents know this, when your kids are scared of the dark, all that you have to do is you sit with them at the bed. You don't have to explain away the dark. You don't even have to make the dark go away. You can just be present in it. And that's what Apostle Paul is saying, that we can come in the darkness. And not the darkness is gonna go away. The promise is not that if I come to God, he'll make everything okay. That's not the promise. The promise is there's presence. And I can't answer all the questions. And God, why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people? Why did this person die? Why did 8 people, or how many ever it was, die just the other day? Young people. Old people. Why? I don't know. I don't know. There's not a good answer for it. In the darkness, though, God is there. In the things that we can't understand and we'll never understand, God is with it. The Apostle Paul would say, because he had what we don't know what it was, but he called it a thorn in his flesh. We don't know exactly what it was, but we know it was debilitating. And Paul asks over and over and over again, God, would you please take this away from me? And you would think, I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. This is the guy that we know so much of our New Testament is written from. If anybody was gonna get their prayers answered, surely it would be Paul. And God said, no, not gonna do it. I'm not gonna take away the darkness. Well, that's what we pray for all the time. God, would you please take this away? No, I'm not gonna do it. But here's what God said. My grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in weakness. And so Paul was able to go on and say, so I'm gonna boast all the more in my weakness, because when I am weak, well, God's strong. And that's my invitation to you. There is a presence that is strong enough, and it doesn't make the darkness go away, it just gives you strength with it. When you this week go through pain, or if you're in pain currently, or when you go through pain in the future, here's 2 things you do. You just be honest with God. Do you know that a good chunk of the Bible is lament? A good chunk of the Bible is, God, I don't get it. A good chunk of the Bible is, this doesn't seem fair. It's just being honest. It's just being raw. There is an entire book of the Bible called Lamentations, because God doesn't need you to be pretty. And God doesn't need you to be put together. You can just bring that raw anger, disappointment, frustration, stress, I don't understand. You can bring it all. You can just be honest. And then, here's the second one, just be aware. Be aware, because again, society pushes us, you just need to numb it. Just go get on your phone, go buy something, go do something new. The gospel invites us, just slow down. Be still and know that I'm God. In pain, I know that the last thing you wanna do is be still, because when you're still, you have to feel it. You've got it, oh God, I just wanna run away from it. But I can just be aware of God. The other day, earlier this week, I can't remember what day it was. I was having a little bit of a difficult day. It wasn't anything major. But after the kids had all went to bed and things, I just went on a walk. Just had my little AirPods in. I just had a little instrumental music playing. I was just trying to catch a little break. I just had a, you know, again, no big deal, but just a little, you've had them too, just a little hard day. I went on a walk, and I was about 2 blocks into the walk, and I just recognized, oh, there's just a beautiful presence with me. Nothing changed, nothing got fixed, but there was just this, the only way to describe it is just presence. Just that I knew in that moment, oh, I'm not alone. I don't have to face this by myself. And some of you have gone your entire Christian life without experiencing presence. You've experienced church services, but you've got to learn to experience presence. You've got to be willing to just, I'm going to take some time. I'm just going to be still, and I'm going to know, God, you're with me. Later on in that walk, I got an extraordinarily painful cramp, and I had to be picked up by my son. But that's neither here nor there. By the time that happened, things were looking better. Things were looking better. I'm not trying to paint a pretty picture, ladies and gentlemen. I could not walk, and I had to be picked up. But, boy, things were better. Things were better. How do you endure pain? Well, you got to find your purpose. Why are you here? Why are you here? You got to lean into a presence that's stronger than you. And lastly, then we're going to be done. I can endure pain when I live to help others. When I am not so focused on me. And again, our society, and I don't know whose fault it is, maybe nobody's, but our society is just look, take care of you. Make sure you're okay. And that's, you know, there's some wisdom in that. You know, put your oxygen mask on before you help other people. You've got to be healthy so that you can help other people. But we can take that too far. And we can just be totally ignorant of other pain and other things that are going on. And so the Apostle Paul in verse 13, and we're going to be done here. Give me about 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes. We'll call it a day. Verse 13, he says, hey, I ask you, don't be discouraged. Who is the Apostle Paul worried about? He's not worried about him. He's thinking about these new believers in Ephesus. He's saying, wow, I think that they might be discouraged because of what's happening to me. I'm okay, but I'm thinking about them. Don't be discouraged. Don't let your faith in God be watered down because of something that's happening to me. He said, no. Don't be discouraged because of my suffering. Well, they're actually for you. They're for your glory. The Apostle Paul did the same thing Jesus did. In his worst moment, was focused on others. Jesus, when he was dying, what did he do? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. John, take care of my mom. Mom, take care of John. Hey, today you'll be with me in paradise. He just focused on others. The Apostle Paul recognized, well, there's an opportunity for them to be discouraged because of pain that I'm going through, and I want them to avoid that. That Paul was able to have this perspective that my pain and my suffering and the things that I wouldn't have never invited on myself, they can actually benefit somebody else. They can actually be a help to somebody else. That our pain can become, doesn't have to become, but if you'll allow it to become, it'll become your greatest platform for ministry. Most of you will never stand on a stage and put on a microphone and preach a sermon. Most of you, that's not your purpose, and that's fine. But you do have a purpose, and you do have a ministry, and you ought not limit yourself to ministry being 10:15 to 11:15 on Sunday when a guy gets up on a stage and puts on a microphone and talks for however long. That's one time, I mean, that's less than 1% of ministry. You have a ministry. You have opportunity. You have ability that I certainly do not have. Certainly don't have it, but you have one. And if you will allow God, he will use the things that you say, I didn't want to go through that, as an opportunity for you to minister. He said it this way, the Apostle Paul, same Apostle Paul, but when he wrote to a church in Corinth, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us. I need to endure pain through presence. He comforts us in all of our troubles. Purpose statement, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. So that God's work in our lives is never just for me. It's for the other people that I'm going through. Joyce Meyer, who's an evangelist and a teacher, she had a horrific upbringing, brutally molested, and just all these things that nobody should have to deal with. And it would be so easy for her to play the victim and do all these things, but here's what she said. Imagine this. When you have gone through deep waters and painful trials, you have a special ability to help others who are drowning in sorrow. Now, that's easy to say if your life has just been wrinkle-free and no problems. But when you've went through what she goes through and you're able to say that, wow, what a gift. My friend Dana, I asked her yesterday, hey, Dana, can I share just a little bit of your story? Dana has went through the pain of losing children, and I cannot fathom that. I cannot imagine it. But Dana has experienced it more than once. And I think that that might make me shrivel up, just to be honest with you. I think that might be the thing that just makes me call it a day, to lose a child. I can't comprehend it. Can't comprehend it. But Dana, when I texted her, here's what she's done. She's allowed, because again, it's so easy for me to stand up on a stage and talk, because honestly, at the end of the day, I've had a pretty great life. So you say, Kyle, yeah, that's fine, but what about this? And so let me tell you about Dana, who writes letters to other parents who have lost children. Suffering turned into mystery. And when I asked her, I said, hey, can I share this? And she corrected me. And she said, Kyle, it's not me that writes the letters. God is the one writing those letters. God is the one that's doing that. And I said, what a beautiful, beautiful ministry. What a gift to be able to take the worst and encourage somebody else with it. And I didn't tell Dana what I was preaching about, but here's word for word what she texted me. You have no idea how freeing it is to finally find your purpose in life. What a gift to be able to understand. Wouldn't have asked for it, wouldn't have wanted it, but God can use it. Wouldn't have invited it, doesn't seem fair, but God can use it. God is still faithful in it. How can we experience pain? Well, if we're shaped by it instead of just wrecked by it, we can have a clear sense of purpose, a vibrant connection to God's presence, and a commitment to help others. Despite imprisonment, despite unfair things happening, Paul was driven by purpose to share the gospel. He was strengthened by God's presence, and he approached his life saying, how can what I'm going through encourage and help and bless other people? Are you in pain this morning? Suffering? Here's a prayer, and then we're gonna be done. Jesus, help me to endure pain by finding you in it. What a beautiful prayer. Heavenly Father, some of us are not in pain. Some of us are living a great season of our life. And so for those of us that are in that season, I pray that this would be able to be something that we just store away. Because for all of us, there will be a season that we'll go through pain and we'll go through struggle. And it might not be fair. We're not gonna be able to understand it. We're gonna hope that it never comes, but we'll be in pain. And so Jesus, help us to find you in that. Lord, I'm praying for people that are in pain today. That this is not a theory, this is reality. And that they're walking through it and it's not fair and it's not right and it shouldn't be happening. And Lord, I'm praying. I do pray that the darkness would be removed. I do pray that things would change and the situations would be fixed and the bodies would be healed and the relationships would be restored and whatever is causing the pain, we are invited to pray that you will remove that. But in the midst of it, would you help us to know that you sit with us in the dark? Would you help us to know that we are not alone in it? Lord, some of us need to find our purpose. Some of us, if we're honest, we're living for the weekend. We're living for the next opportunity, the next thing, the next vacation, the next. Lord, would you anchor us in? We're born for a reason. Help us to figure out what that is. Lord, I'm praying that you would grace us with the ability to look beyond just ourselves and allow you to work through us, that our pain would be able to be a blessing and a comfort and a help to the people around us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.